Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, equal rights and equal responsibilities. And we're doing that on the premise and on the basis that God created government. And the Romans, the 13th chapter, says that God has created government as his servant. It is that the government is a servant of God to prosecute evil and to protect the good. We're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, that's been turned upside down. Totally upside down. We see folks like Chuck Schumer that can stand out on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court and threaten two U.S. Supreme Court justices. And in threatening them, it was an absolute unequivocal threat when he made the statement publicly in a frenzied, frothy mouth as he was trying to cheer on the mob. He said to those two Supreme Court justices, "You will pay the price. You won't know what hit you." And he was talking about the fact that they were then entertaining and listening to oral arguments about a bill that deals with abortion that would protect more and more human life in America. And Chuck Schumer and his radical crowd sees that as the potential of undermining and ultimately removing Roe versus Wade, which has allowed 61 plus million human beings to be extinguished in the mother's womb and some outside the mother's womb. But that's another story for another issue. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with Chuck Schumer, what he said, and the response has been total silence from the fake media. The response has been meek and mealy, to say the least, from other sources in Washington, including Chief Justice Roberts' statement and Mitch McConnell's statement, we'll talk about in a moment. But we're next making the nexus, ladies and gentlemen, with the fact that across America, 17 states have the red flag laws. And under the red flag law, had this statement that was made by Chuck Schumer, that threat that was made by Chuck Schumer, had I made that statement publicly, had I made that threat publicly, right here in our city, right here in the state of Florida, so also in 17 states in America, including New York, had it been the common average citizen, the law enforcement agencies would have been at your door or my door within minutes, if not a few hours, to go into the home, search the home, confiscate any weapon. Now, someone has said, and I did the research on it, someone said Chuck Schumer does not own a weapon. Notwithstanding that, they would have been at his door to search the home to make certain that he did not have one because his was an open threat. And that threat, ladies and gentlemen, in any state in America is codified as a felony, which is punishable by incarceration and fines. But we see nothing taking place with Chuck Schumer and his frothing at the mouth with that vile, vicious, dangerous threat to two U.S. Supreme Court justices. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article here, title of the article, and it's dealing with New Jersey, not New York, but we'll get with New York in a moment. It says, black gun owner in New Jersey was arrested for carrying a licensed gun and possessing legal ammunition. He had a permit to carry and state-approved ammunition. Here's the article. A black man in New Jersey is fighting charges after being arrested for carrying a firearm and possessing polymer-tipped ammunition, both of which he says he is authorized to do under the state law. New Jersey police arrested Roosevelt Twain, 25-year-old black American who worked as a security guard in February after officers performed a traffic stop on him due to his vehicle's tinted windows, according to the Washington Free Beacon report. His attorney, Evan Napan, N-A-P-P-E-N, told the news outlet that his client was then charged for illegally carrying a firearm and being in possession of ammunition that officers erroneously referred to as hollow points. But according to his attorney, his client has a permit for carrying the firearm, and the ammunition in his possession was state-approved. Even more, it was the same ammunition issued by his employer. Quote, he had a permit to carry the handgun, adding that the law makes it clear that it is illegal to transport unless you are licensed pursuant of Chapter 38 of the state law, and this is precisely what a handgun carry permit is. But ladies and gentlemen, here's a man that is at night in his automobile. They stop him for other infractions, and I'm sure they ask you have a weapon on you, and I'm sure he said yes. As a result of that, The weapon then is seized. The ammunition is seized. He's charged with carrying an illegal weapon and illegal ammunition when it's both state approved and under state law. You see what happens with the knee-jerk response of handcuffing and incarcerating a person that has the legal right to carry a weapon. And yet here's a man, because he's a U.S. Senator, Chuck Schumer, that can make an open, vile, vicious, dangerous verbal threat against two U.S. Supreme Court justices and not be hauled in, not be arrested, not be challenged by law enforcement. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the subject of equal rights, and we all have equal rights under the law, but we have an equal responsibility. And here's Chuck Schumer, that he is has the sense of being above the law. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the essence of what is in the state of New York. Red flag gun protection law now in effect, this article says. The red flag law, also known as the extreme risk protection order law, is in effect in New York State as of August the 24th of 2019. The law prevents individuals who show signs of being a threat to themselves or a threat to others and may have a firearm. Further, the article says how to prepare and file. An extreme risk protection order, ERPO, is a court order issued when a person may be dangerous to themselves or dangerous to others. The ERPO case may be started by a district attorney, a police officer, a school official, or any member of the person's family or household or others. It's as I said earlier, ladies and gentlemen, under the red flag law that's in 17 states, it's very dangerous because it violates the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and the 14th Amendment, and yet they are now being pushed by every state in America to inculcate them into the family of laws in our states. In fact, there are a number in the media that's pushing for it. There are a number, in fact, most on the left, the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats, are pushing for that to be done on a federal level. And if it's done on a federal level, it's tantamount to gun confiscation. That's what it is. It's gun confiscation. In fact, right here in the state of Florida, I don't know how some of them stand at the moment. I've not checked them in the past week to 10 days. There are about 40 gun confiscation, gun control bills in the state of Florida that's working their way through the House and the Senate. One of them, ladies and gentlemen, if it passes, it would be beneficial for the state of Florida because it would gut the red flag law in the state of Florida. It is the state representative from District 1, Mike Hill, that's introduced the bill that will give relief for the citizens of the state of Florida. Albeit, I don't think it has gotten enough traction and enough support on either side of the aisle to be able to pass it. And yet it is needed in the state of Florida, and it's needed something like that across America, because these red flag laws are extremely, extremely dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us, there are several cases of individuals who have been remanded to jail as a result of the red flag law. Some have been there for weeks and months. Some are still fighting in the court, trying to get the attorneys and trying to work up the case so that they can get themselves, get their lives back together and get their property, their guns, their weapons, their ammunition reinstated to them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's basically a law that confiscates guns. It's a law that goes against the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. It's a law that allows the law enforcement to come into your home and do search and seizure without a warrant, simply because someone made a call. And many times, ladies and gentlemen, it could be, as I've read cases in the state of Florida, where we've got cases where it was an angry employer or an angry employee that made the call, or an angry neighbor that made the call that triggered the catastrophic results for that individual. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Schumer targeted by gun confiscation law after threatening SCOTUS justices. It's dated March 6, 2020. A pro-Second Amendment gun group has filed an application for a temporary extreme risk protection order against Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, after his New York Democrat threatened two United States Supreme Court justices. With all the subtlety of the New York mob boss, Schumer delivered his message on the steps of the Supreme Court. Quote, "I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions, end quote. Further in this article, it says, in a letter to the Democratic New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, Eric Pratt, senior vice president of the pro-Second Amendment group Gun Owners of America, urged the pro-gun control governor to apply the New York's red flag law equally. Hear me. The application by the Gun Owners Association is asking the governor of New York to apply the red flag law equally. There should be an equality and a sense of equity in the laws. This is the reason I have called this broadcast today, Equal Rights and Equal Responsibility. If the red flag law exists, and it does in the state of New York, it should be equally administered. The article further says, if you're serious about the law that you sign, and if you believe it should apply to the ruling class as well as those ruled, then will the nation soon see reports that you will be directing an appropriate official to seek a red flag order against Senator Schumer? End quote. Further, the article states the red flag laws, so-called red flag laws, like the one enacted in New York State last year, are meant to serve as a stopgap against criminals or mentally unstable individuals possessing or purchasing firearms. Citizens can have their guns confiscated if someone close to that individual files for what's called an extreme risk protection and reports that they have threatened to harm themselves or someone else, according to the New York Times. In Schumer's case, only the half about purchasing a firearm doesn't apply, since according to the news media, he does not own a gun. The mentally unstable portion speaks for itself, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Chuck Schumer standing on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court and threatening two Supreme Court justices publicly, viciously, verbally, with grave disrespect for the courts and with a demeaning of and a diminishing of the view that we should have for U.S. senators and what they're charged with the responsibility of doing. So the question is, did Senator Schumer have to surrender any weapons? Has he been chided by the laws in the state of New York? Has he been somehow, some way stopped in his tracks for what he's done? Did the law enforcement go to his door and search his home? Will Chuck Schumer face a judge? Or is this further evidence, ladies and gentlemen, we have no such thing as equal rights and equal responsibility? Does this illustrate to us that we have two sets of rules and regulations and laws in the United States of America? One set of laws and rules and regulations for the elite ruling class, and one set of laws for the less than elite ruler being ruled class. And I believe that's the case, ladies and gentlemen. It ought not to be so. There ought to be equality in the rules and the regulations, the guidelines, and the laws for America. Well, here's what Schumer did. And the only consequence thus far that he has done, Schumer has been criticized by some and openly condemned by others. What he said, he had been openly criticized by some and criticized quietly by others, and some have openly condemned him, but he has not been brought under the law, ladies and gentlemen. Schumer is seen as above the law. He sees himself as above the laws in the state of Washington, in the Washington, D.C., or in the state of New York, his domicile, his home state. It's evident, ladies and gentlemen, that so-called gun laws are simply being implemented against the average citizen and not the elite in Washington, the Beltway, or in New York, as should be imposed on Senator Schumer. Now, here's an article that gives us an illustration of the mealy-mouthed, non-combative approach that's taken against Schumer. The title of the article says, McConnell blasts Schumer for shameless efforts to bully Supreme Court, dated March 5th, 2020. Senate Majority Leader, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, on Thursday, blasted, this article says, Democratic leader, Senator Chuck Schumer, for threatening two members of the U.S. Supreme Court over how they vote on abortion. Here's some of the statements by McConnell. The article says he blasted him. I beg to differ with one making that statement. McConnell said, "I'm not sure where to start," Senator McConnell said on the Senate floor. "There's nothing to call this except a threat," end quote. Schumer had a rally of leftists Wednesday during Supreme Court arguments on a common sense state requirement for that abortionists have hospital admitted privileges, singled out two justices appointed by President Trump. Quote, this is McConnell restating what Schumer had said. He says, "I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you release the whirlwind and you'll pay the price. You won't know what hit you." McConnell said Schumer's threats were shameless efforts to bully the nation's judges. The minority leader threatened two associate justices in the U.S. Supreme Court, period, McConnell said. There's no other way to interpret that. Now, do you call that? Would anybody say that that is where Mitch McConnell blasted Chuck Schumer? I say no. It's not strong enough. It's not definitive enough. They've done nothing. Chuck Schumer's not embarrassed by or bothered by a statement like that on the Senate floor. There's no bother to him, but it's not in any way squelch his vile, dogmatic approach to bullying someone and trying to force them to do what he wants done on the left. Now, Attorney General did say something, and others across America as Attorney Generals. Here's an article that says, Attorneys General join in rebuke of Schumer. Attorneys Generals from several states rebuke Senator Mitch McConnell, Senator Chuck Schumer, for his threats against two members of the U.S. Supreme Court. Schumer was firing up a pro-abortion crowd in front of the court doing his hearings on abortion Wednesday when he shouted, "I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you release the whirlwind and you'll pay the price. You won't know what hit you." In a rare public statement, Chief Justice John Roberts rebuked him for his dangerous threats, and Schumer later tried to walk back his statement, saying that he didn't mean them as a threat, but he didn't apologize, and he didn't even withdraw his statements, ladies and gentlemen, but he claims it was not considered from him as a threat, and you can't consider it for anything else. And, oh, yes, we have Ilhan Omar, part of the AOC and the squad. She's joining Chuck Schumer in the war against the Supreme Court, and she's doing so. Here's an article that says Ilhan Omar joined Schumer in the war against SCOTUS with sexual predation claims. "We are, well, apparently we're going to go here again," she said. "We're going to accuse Supreme Court Justices Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh of being sexual predators in the midst of a contentious case that they're hearing." And the article goes on, it's about other cases they're hearing. But others had to get in on the mob with Chuck Schumer and his blasting the U.S. Supreme Court justices for the job that they're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, it is evident that the so-called gun laws in New York do not apply to and are enforced against Senator Chuck Schumer. But may I say it is being enforced against the citizens in the state of New York and other states. Here's an article that talks about that again. Apology accepted. Schumer's sorry, not sorry. When Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, first heard the news reports, he didn't believe them. I thought, this just can't be right. So I looked at the comments. I looked at the video, and it was extraordinary, for his comments were taken to be taken the wrong way. Give me a break, Hawley argued. Listen, Senator Schumer's not stupid. He knows exactly what he's doing. And later, a non-apology where he said, "Well, my comments were misinterpreted." They weren't misinterpreted. He meant to threaten these two justices. He went there to do that very thing. Now, look, Hawley went on, if you don't like an opinion of the court, that's fine. Feel free to say so. If you don't think the justices is good at his or her job, that's fine. But to threaten the justices, that's beyond the pale of anything in the law. At the end of the day, Hawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y, he is the senator from Missouri, said, quote, "I'm not interested in his apology. that he clearly doesn't believe in and really doesn't want to own up to. I'm interested in him learning the lesson that it is he is threatening the justices, threatening our rule of law that should be out of bounds in America and in American politics. The Senate ought to put down a clear marker on this. And that's why I introduced the resolution to formally censure Schumer. So far, only 14 senators agree with the idea, like Hawley. They think this is exactly the kind of dangerous rhetoric that Congress needs to end, and to end now. But ladies and gentlemen, notice with Hawley, he could find only 14 senators that would agree that there need to be a strong censure to stop Chuck Schumer from doing this and to cause it to cease and desist. Ladies and gentlemen, the red flag gun confiscation laws, which violate our 2nd and 4th and 14th Amendments, are being widely used against the citizens. In fact, in the state of Virginia, you cannot protect yourself if you're in a church or a place of worship. It is the way that it is carried out. In the state of Virginia, you cannot carry a weapon in a church. Here's the article. Section 18.2, parens 283, carrying dangerous weapons to a place of religious worship. If any person carries any gun, pistol, bowie knife, dagger, or other dangerous weapon without good and sufficient reason to a place of worship while meeting for religious purposes is being held at such place shall be guilty of a class 4 misdemeanor, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if this law that's in the state of Virginia had been enforced in the state of Texas just a couple of months back, the possibility of 200 plus worshipers would have been very, very high. The possibility of multitudes being killed. Fortunately, in that church in Texas, there were several people that had weapons, that had permits to carry them, and in the state of Texas, the law was passed in 2017 to allow those in worship services to protect the parishioners, that is, the congregation, as well as protecting themselves and the life of the people there. Ladies and gentlemen, if you dial 911 thinking that law enforcement are going to get there, law enforcement will be there between 2 and 5 minutes. The shooting took place, and the shooter was neutralized in 6 seconds in that church in the state of Texas. Now, picture that if it had been a church in the state of Virginia. There would have been a total massacre because there would have been no one in the church that could legally protect themselves, protect the pastor, or protect the worshipers in the church that day. The red flag laws in the state of Florida, ladies and gentlemen, have removed guns from hundreds of citizens. Here's an article that says Florida red flag law has removed hundreds of guns. The red flag laws in the state of Florida, which confiscate firearms from people who have committed gun violence or are determined to be at risk, has removed hundreds of guns from Florida homes, but it's been enforced inconsistently throughout the state, according to an investigation by the Associated Press. Under this law, listen, ladies and gentlemen, under this law, police agencies file a request to a civil judge citing evidence that the person is in question is engaged in suspicious behavior. Ladies and gentlemen, that would apply to Chuck Schumer. A judge then holds a hearing and decides whether to confiscate their weapon for a year, after which police agencies are able to renew the request, though through the law has been successful in removing guns from potentially dangerous individuals. The level of enforcement depends on the city and the county level, and some places reporting not using it at all. According to Associated Press, state average confiscation was one for every 5,500 residents through the number, though the number varies widely in the state of Florida. Quote, if someone has made a threat to hurt themselves or others and is intent on using a firearm, we will try to get a risk protection order against them so that we can take their firearms. Highlands County Sheriff Paul Blackman told the Associated Press, adding he's unsure why his county has the highest number of confiscations in the state of Florida. Opponents of the law argue that it is unconstitutional and ineffective. In Highlands County, there were at least two instances where those who had their weapons confiscated died by suicide through other means. Ladies and gentlemen, there have been cases across America where law enforcement would try to smash a door in without a warrant, without notification, in the wee hours of the morning, and there have been those that have fired their weapon from inside not knowing what is outside, and lives have been lost as a result of the red flag law and the way that it's carried out. You ask the question, does it sound like I am adamantly opposed to it. Absolutely, I'm adamantly opposed to it. As I said, may I say again, it infringes on the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the 14th Amendment. Time will not allow in this broadcast for me to read those to you. In your leisure, you read those three amendments, the Second, the Fourth, and the 14th Amendment, and then ask yourself the question, are we finding in America today the equal rights and equal responsibility being carried out? Are we finding today there's an elitist group that feels that somehow, some way, they can pass the laws, enforce the laws, but we, the people, are the subservients to those laws, and we cannot do anything in response to them? There's a major, major problem with that, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that talks about Virginia again. Virginia General Counsel passes bills to require background checks on all gun sales and restore one handgun and to restore one handgun a month law. That is, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Virginia as we speak, they have passed very devastating, detrimental, destructive gun bills because in the state of Virginia, ladies and gentlemen, it is bought and paid for and controlled by the leftists, and the leftist mob that went in last year that's taken control of the House and the Senate in the state of Virginia, where their elections were bought and paid for by people like George Soros and others that want to see America disarmed as a nation. This article says legislation to require criminal background checks on all gun sales and restore the state's former handgun, one per month, won final approval Saturday in the Senate. The passage of the two bills means that seven of the eight proposed Northam gun control laws that were passed last year will be signed into law, being signed in at his desk into law this day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in danger in America when people like Chuck Schumer can threaten the U.S. Supreme Court justices and stand above and outside the realm of the law enforcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not sit in silence. We must not cower in fear. Let me remind us, we must stand up, speak up, and recognize the best way to force government to do what God created government to do is that we, the people, vote November the 3rd. We need to vote for either a socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat, or we need to reelect President Donald J. Trump as the President of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump has been the best president in the United States of America in the protection of our Second Amendment rights and our First Amendment rights of any other president in my lifetime. We need to stand up, speak up. We need to be salt and light. And most of all, we need to vote for President Trump in the November the 3rd election. We cannot sit in silence, ladies and gentlemen. We need to put conservatives in control of the U.S. House and in the U.S. Senate and allow President Trump to continue to lead us in America. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.